It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
The president-elect marked Martin Luther King Day by inviting to Trump Tower MLK's oldest son, MLK III, Martin Luther King III, for a meeting. And the meeting, the purpose of which was twofold. First of all, to honor the legacy of King's father and to serve as a counterpoint to a buzzsaw of criticism that Trump has run into over his feud with civil rights icon John Lewis. The president-elect rode with Martin Luther King III to the lobby for a very public handshake and farewell. But under a barrage of questions about his feud with Congressman John Lewis, Trump retreated to the elevator and disappeared. Lewis set off a war of words on Friday by suggesting Trump's win was not legitimate.
I don't see this president-elect as a legitimate president. I think the Russians participated in helping this man get elected.
Trump responded by tweeting that Lewis, quote, should spend more time on fixing and helping his district, which is in horrible shape and falling apart. And that Lewis, who was severely beaten by police during the March on Selma, is, quote, all talk, 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 no action or results. Trump's number two defended his boss, insisting he has the right to respond to an attack and that Lewis was wrong to say what he did.
For someone to use his stature, to use terms like this is not a legitimate president, it's just deeply disappointing to me, and I hope he reconsiders it.
Alveda King, Martin Luther King's niece, says Lewis could make better use of his energy than attacking Trump.
I believe that Congressman Lewis can actually help America by working with the president.
Congressman Lewis says he is not going to attend Friday's inauguration, and he is no stranger to boycotting the inauguration of Republican presidents. Press reports from back in 2001 say that as George Bush, 43, was taking the oath of office, Lewis was back in Atlanta in his home district.
Okay, so that was John Roberts last night on Fox. Sandy Rios in the morning with you, and we talked a lot about John Lewis yesterday. I told you I'm not a fan. I don't understand why we must bow the knee to someone who was involved in the civil rights movement, who did something really fine at one point in their lives, and now everything they do must be fine from here on out. That doesn't make sense to me. And again, we do the same thing with John McCain. He was a prisoner of war, and so therefore, whatever he says, we must listen to. I disagree with that. I think you evaluate a man based on the way he lives his life, not on one thing that he did one time. I just don't think that's God's way. And so John Lewis has a terrible history. He has a history of lying. He has a really bad history of his involvement with the worst elements of the left, including the Communist Party of the United States. So I'm not a fan. I don't trust him. And I'll just give you a little mini sample you can hear for yourself. This was John Lewis on MSNBC talking about, you just heard a bit of it, yes, just now with in John Roberts' report. But let's listen again to what started all of this. These are his statements on Trump. Let's listen.
I don't see this president-elect as a legitimate president. I think the Russians participated in helping this man get elected. Mm-hmm. And they helped destroy the candidacy of Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, well, see, that in itself, he can listen, I didn't like Barack Obama, and I still don't, because I knew too much about him. I knew so much about him before he ever got into the Oval Office. Remember, I am from Chicago. I knew his history back there. I knew his connection with Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn, the radical leftist. I knew his best friend was Rashid Khalidi, of the PLO, who hated Israel. these things I knew. I knew that even though he had voted, you know, absent or just he did not vote many times in the Illinois Senate, he always knew what he thought on homosexual rights and abortion. He was a radical of all radicals. We knew that. I knew that. So those are the reasons, not because of his color. If I have to say that, who cares? Who cares? We do well to listen to the words of Dr. Martin Luther King about judging men on the basis of their character and not their color. And, of course, that's the heart of God, and that's what we all must do. So John Lewis is saying again, you know, that he doesn't view President Trump as a legitimate president, and he believes the Russians caused Hillary Clinton to lose. And trust me, you know, that is just that's just not true from all that I'm understanding on the inside. That the WikiLeaks, I don't know, you know, Julian Assange swears that his leaks did not come from the Russians. That had nothing to do with balloting. It had to do with leaking actual email. There were exchanges between John Podesta and the press, John Podesta and Hillary Clinton and the foundation, and we learned all kinds of stuff. It was actually true. So the Russians, as Diana West has written about this, she's an expert on the left. She says that the Russians, when they use propaganda or try to manipulate, they very seldom use the truth to do it. And so if the Russians, and if Julian Assange lied and the Russians made it possible for, you know, him to leak all these real, honest-to-goodness emails from John Podesta to the Clinton Foundation and others, then the Russians were complicit with, you know, getting truth out to the American people because their journalists were not doing it. Remember, the journalists were lunching with John Podesta, having dinner in his home. Writers, journalists, editorialists. It's just a shocking story. So Lewis is saying, again, they're trying to bake in the cake that, oh, Hillary only lost because of the Russians, which is just bizarre when you think about how she reached out to the Russians with the reset button. And honestly, the Clintons themselves had such a past with the Red Russia. You know, Bill Clinton was over there before the Soviet Union even broke up when he was a kid. So they have a long, long history of sympathy with the old Soviet Union. But suddenly now, you know, Russia's going to interfere to get Hillary not elected. I think most people would agree that Mrs. Clinton was a really bad candidate, flawed. I would argue worse than flawed, and I have, but I digress. So then Lewis claims, and actually I'm not sure if it's in this clip, but he claims he has never before, ever boycotted a presidential inauguration. Let's listen.
I don't plan to attend inauguration. It would be the first one that I miss.
But that's not true. I'd see, that's what I'm saying. This man is untrustworthy. He actually boycotted George W. Bush's inauguration, made great fanfare about that, said he was an illegitimate president. Does that sound familiar? So that's John Lewis. And yet the race baiters, you know, are making hay while the sun shines. This is what they do. You heard Alveda King, the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King. Alveda's a godly woman. Every time I talk to her, I'm blessed. And she says, I pray that all polar opposites learn to agape love. Agape love, that's God's love, the Greek word. Live and work together as brothers and sisters or perish as fools. While I voted for Mr. Trump, my confidence remains in God for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Prayers for President-elect Trump, Congressman Lewis, and everyone, including leaders. So then now there's going to be a big boycott by much of the Black caucus. I'm not sure if it's 100%, but they're going to be staying away from the inauguration following the leadership of John Lewis, who's never before boycotted, except for that one time we know about. This is the way it's going to be. All right, James O'Keefe of Veritas went undercover. And I've been telling you about all of the plans this week to disrupt the celebration in Washington, D.C., but there are a lot more details to discuss. When they went undercover, they actually got audio of some of these protesters. You won't believe what you're going to hear. Let's listen.
We had a freaking pint of butyric acid. I don't care how big the building is. It's closed and it's staying closed for a while.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to think through how to get all the sprinklers throughout the building. There's usually a piece of, like, fusible metal or a piece of glass and a liquid in it that'll blow.
This is undercover video of potential criminal acts being planned. These organizers and activists are talking about setting off butyric acid into the ventilation system and setting off fire alarm sprinklers at a Trump inaugural ball later this week.
We do not recognize the city government either. If you try to close us down, we will look for your house, burn it. We will physically fight the police if they try to clear one of our places. We will go to war. You will lose.
A few days later, our journalists received this email from Scott Green. Quote, "The reconnaissance went pretty well, and we left with the confidence that we can accomplish our objective with no negative consequences for our side, nor any collateral damage." Just to be clear, we don't have a problem with people protesting peacefully or voicing their First Amendment rights. That's protected by the Constitution. But in this case, Disrupt J20 says openly that their plan is to shut down the inauguration. The question is, where do these people draw the line? Do these individuals and groups have any problem with what we're reporting here?
All right, that's James O'Keefe, and we'll put that video actually on our Facebook. That's just a portion of it. It was filmed undercover at Comet Ping Pong, a D.C. pizza restaurant. The organization is called D.C. Anti-Fascists Coalition. You should hear them. What you probably couldn't hear in that one conversation is that if you resist, we'll find out where you live. We'll come to your house and burn it down. I mean, it is unbelievable. And that is just one group. That's just one group. I'm telling you, there are all kinds of groups. There's another one called Disrupt J20. We've been following them. They are doing training at American University and St. Stephen Episcopal Church in D.C. Let's just say that St. Stephen calls themselves a center for progressive thought and action in the Episcopal Church. They have a committee in solidarity with the people. And it just goes on and on. This is very dangerous. They're planning on, there's one website you can find out for yourself. It's called The Indivisible Guide. And it's a very long sort of workbook on how to disrupt the Trump presidency. In fact, I'll read a little bit to you. Practical Guide for Resisting the Trump Agenda. Now, let me just say, you know, you can resist, I would resist the Obama agenda. We're not talking about any really problem with resisting politically or opposing politically. That's part of our right as Americans. It's part of our DNA. We're talking about subversion, illegal acts. We're talking about violence. We're talking about really trying to actually topple the system, not just topple the man. And it's indivisibleagainsttrump@gmail.com. That's their email address. It says, "We're doing this in our free time without coordination or support from our employers. We're not selling anything. Email us with questions, edits, recommendations." And so they have a long treatise, training manual on how to disrupt. And so here's an interesting passage from it. "To this end, the following chapters offer a step-by-step guide for individuals, groups, and organizations looking to replicate." Are you ready for this? This is really the irony. "Replicate the Tea Party's success in getting Congress to listen to a small, vocal, dedicated group of constituents. The guide is intended to be equally useful for stiffening Democratic spines and weakening pro-Trump Republican resolve." All right. "Now, we believe that the next 4 years depend on Americans across the country standing indivisible against the Trump agenda." Again, I don't have a problem with them doing that. What I have a problem with is turning the inauguration into a riot, trying to shut it down, trying to put acid into the vents to ruin the inaugural balls, planning to burn people's houses down, going to Mike Pence's house to make his life miserable, flooding the streets to make it impossible to celebrate the inauguration of a president. These are all the things that the left has planned. All right, our phone number is 888-589-8840. We have Dave Bratt joining us in a minute, but I'd love to talk to you for a few minutes. If you'd like to, comment on anything I've talked about. Otherwise, I'm just going to go on with the news. 888-589-8840. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Hi, this is Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. 1,790 families have had their homes rebuilt because of you, the listener at American Family Radio, when you've partnered with 8 Days of Hope. We've been all over the country helping disaster victims to no fault of their own who lose everything to see volunteers show up and help them rebuild. 2 years ago, we started a rapid response division that goes within 72 hours and since then have gone to 15 communities across America. Would you consider becoming a part of 8 Days of Hope as we continue to look for ways to grow the ministry in 2017, please go to our website, 8daysofhope.com, and click on Get Involved, submit your email address, and the next time we go anywhere with a disaster, we'll invite you to come along as well. Please continue to pray for the ministry as we look forward to what God has in store for us. Thank you so much for your prayers, your financial support, and volunteering with 8 Days of Hope.
AFR urges you to support the ministry of 8 Days of Hope at 8daysofhope.com.
The Tide Radio Ministry is celebrating 69 years of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm Don Shank, Director of The Tide, and this is today's Global Update. Reflecting on the past 69 years of the Tide Ministry, we marvel at how God took a vision for a local radio ministry, reaching one small town, and transformed it into a global outreach that's bringing people around the world into relationship with Him. Our work now includes discipleship activities and radio programs in 23 languages. 3 of those languages were just added this year, and already they're making a difference in the lives of many people. Like Marco, who says our latest Albanian language radio program is a blessing for him. He wrote, "I can learn a lot of things about God and how to live according to His Word. I see how my life is changing because of this program." To learn more about the Tide Ministry and help us share the gospel with more people like Marco, visit thetide.org. That's thetide.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and Commentary next. Truett McConnell University is training students to love the Lord, love the Word, love the Church, and love the lost. Scripture is the foundation for everything they do. It's who they are, preparing students not just for a career, but to fulfill God's high calling on their lives. Truett McConnell University offers a wide array of bachelor's programs, some online, and they also have an outstanding Master of Arts in Theology. So if you'd like to schedule a visit to Truett's campus in the North Georgia Mountains, visit truett.edu. For as long as anyone can remember, parishioners at All Saints Church in Pasadena, California, have prayed for the President of the United States by name, but no more. The rector of the Episcopal Church says they will not utter the name Donald Trump in the church house, warning the president's name might trigger microaggressions among the sanctified snowflakes. The rector went on to compare mentioning Trump's name to mentioning the name of a man who beats his wife. It's breathtakingly repulsive, even for California. The church said there is a clear and present danger that the president's name might trigger some sort of trauma. I gotta tell you, folks, this guy sounds like some sort of liturgical lunatic. And I'd say a good many people parked in the pews at All Saints Church just might be slap crazy. Lord have mercy, folks. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
All right, Sandy Rios back with you. But let me first, before we go to the phones, by the way, our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. And let me just say thank you because you did what you always do. Your generosity is a testimony to me personally. I have to say, you know, we did the preborn, yeah. Isn't that what it's called? Yeah, preborn ministry. Yeah, we raised money for ultrasounds last week through your generosity. Our goal was 2,000, I think it was, 2,000. Guess what? We raised enough money to buy 3,545 ultrasounds. To provide 3,545 ultrasounds and buy one ultrasound machine. That's, again, 1,445 beyond our goal. So you guys are the most generous audience in the world. Whoever says that to people. But it's true of the American Family Radio listeners. It is absolutely true. So thank you, thank you, thank you. May God bless you and your family because of your generosity. All right, we've been talking about a lot of things from John Lewis and the Martin Luther King to boycotting the inauguration, to the protests planned in the streets, the disruptions. And so any of that, or anything we've been talking about is fair game. Dave Brett will be joining us in a second. We're going to be talking about repeal and replacing Obamacare in the House. So stay tuned for that. Let me go to Shirley in Tennessee. Good morning, Shirley.
Good morning. For all of these people who are mad about Hillary not winning, they need to read the Bible, Revelations and Daniel and all the other books. Do not mention a woman being in power at the end times. So they could have known that Hillary wouldn't win it because it's already prophesied. But also, I just was going to say that these are the last days. People have been deluded. God said he'd send strong delusion because they would not turn their hearts to the Lord. They're believing their own lies now, like John Lewis, who I've actually personally met. My kids performed for in Georgia, and I didn't see where he did anything for us. And we're African-Americans. And also, I would say the Lutheran Episcopal churches are apostate as far as I'm concerned. Many of them have gone gay. They've made gayness one of their rules in their church, that they can hire these people as in the pulpits, but they're not alone. And last, the performers who won't perform for Trump, like the ladies who kicked their legs and danced and cried about not wanting to perform, I think if they don't want to do their jobs, then fine, leave the job. But, you know, if these people are going to bow to this and they're not going to perform, there's plenty of performers out there. He can invite myself also. And we will sing loud and clear, and we will not be afraid. And you know, let me tell you, it'll be a slap in these people's face who won't perform when we sing their songs better than they do.
You know, Shirley, I'm so sick of these performers. I have to tell you, you know, and like Lady Gaga is doing the Super Bowl. And I mean, I'm not talking about their talent. I'm talking about their reprobate lifestyles. I'm sick of it. It has gone to, I don't know how much further down they could go. And so those are the people that have the grade A approval to perform for the American people for these huge venues. And people who have conservative views, you know, I think of, I don't know, I'm going to go into the other extreme, HGTV, the Chip and Joanna, who go to a church where the pastor once said that gay marriage was not acceptable, you know, and they're like icky. And so these performers who have absolutely no moral compass in their personal lives and dress like, you know, street women, they're the wonderful people who have the imprimatur to perform for women and children and all the whole families gathered around their television. I'm tired of that, and I'm tired of their high-mindedness now to boycott this inauguration because they are so righteous and holy. I'm kind of off of Hollywood and entertainment right now. You know who I wish Trump would invite? I wish he would invite the musicians of the armed forces. Whether it's the Navy or the Marines or the Air, they have the most wonderful, wonderful talent, and I would be thrilled if he would fill the stage with them. Anyway, hey Shirley, let me ask you a question. You touched on it, and I know you're black. We've talked before. I love every time you call me. You know, Steve Harvey went down to meet with Trump, and now he's getting death threats. And then the singer whose name escapes me, who just canceled, she's getting death threats. And Andrea Bocelli bowed out because his security team said that he was getting death threats. You know, any black person that goes to talk to Donald Trump now is in very big trouble in their community. What do you think about that? If they had you here, what would you say to them? Like a Steve Harvey, what would you say to him?
I would tell them to stand their ground. And Andre Botticelli, Jennifer Holliday, and all the rest, they are international. These people are saying to Jennifer Holliday that she'll never work again. And how can they stop that? They can't stop Britain from hiring Jennifer Holliday to come and sing. They can't. I don't believe they could stop it in America, because if I saw that she was in my city, I'd be going whether these people liked it or not. So I would tell them to stand their ground. If you're Christian, if you love the Lord, stand up for Christ and don't let Satan back you up, because these same people will accept the mark of the beast, like Dr. Oz's show. You know, he has been promoting a microchip. He hadn't maybe, but the show has. His show, it has aired several times and it's all over the internet. The RFID chip that they say over 10,000 people have gotten is elective right now. But if these liberals keep pushing things, they're going to try to get everybody to get it. But same thing, you got to stand your ground and say, there are just some things I won't accept. And death threats, they're not even after Jennifer. They're not after Andre Botticelli. They're not after these people. They say they're after Trump. I don't believe anything will happen to them, and I think they should go and perform.
Yeah. Okay. I'm with you, Shirley. Thank you always, and have a great day. And I hope he does invite you to sing. That would be refreshing. Thank you, Shirley. Let me go to Mike in Virginia. Good morning, Mike.
Sandy, thank you for taking my call. Love your program. Can't listen to it in its entirety most of the time, because unlike some of these people that they've been recording, I do work for a living.
I know what you mean.
I wonder why there have not already been charges issued, especially against that person who threatened to burn down homes. That's illegal. The threat itself is illegal. But they think that they're not going to have any consequences. Our God is the author of ultimate consequences, and they are going to get a big surprise if they don't change their ways.
Yep, absolutely, Mike. I agree with you. Thanks. You know, we had a when if you do Facebook, which I don't do very much, honestly. We have a our Facebook is active for the show, but I don't weigh in a lot. But I did weigh in this week. Because when we aired our show with March Bell last Friday on the investigation of Planned Parenthood selling of body parts, we had someone post something that was so so evil, I could not stop. I could not. I had to weigh in. And you can see it if you look for last Friday's show. I'm not even going to repeat what he said, but my point is, I believe, too, my point back to him was that you don't understand that judgment is coming. You think you can say whatever you want to say. You think you can do whatever you want to do. You think you can laugh in the face of God and that there'll be no consequence. There is a holy God who is bringing judgment on all of us. But you must understand, either repent or, you know, just go ahead and go full bore. But there will be judgment, and it's coming soon. And so, Mike, I think you're right about that. And, man, when you see this video that James did, you can see these guys are evil. One in particular, he's just got a smile on his face. It's unbelievable. By the way, James did notify the FBI. They are investigating. Hopefully they've stopped this particular group. I don't know, but at least they're saying that they're intending to do that. Let's go to Jan in Texas. Jan, are you there? I'm having some trouble
here.
Oh, yeah, there you are. Okay, Jan, good. How are you?
I'm good. You doing well this morning?
I am. I surely am. Thank you.
Good. My dad passed away in November, and he was so adamant to get his vote in before he went to our father. You know, he was so concerned about the state of this country. So as my dad got his last vote in, my daughter got her first. And she's leaving this morning for the inauguration, and just praying safety over them.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's pretty exciting. How old is she?
She's 18. She's number one in her class. She's excited to be there, and they're going with about 15 other people.
Oh, Jan, I know that's very, you know, how meaningful, and probably maybe more to you than to her. Just the, you know, as we get older, we just see the, sometimes we see the meaning of life because we have a longer span of time to look what God has done. Look what God has done. And so what a great blessing for you. All right. Thanks a lot, Jan. Let's go to Missouri and talk to David. Good morning, David.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call, Sandy.
My pleasure.
I just don't, you know, these little communist uprisings or whatever, and whether they're grassroots or, you know, paid for by powerful people, I just think they're meant to polarize the public, and I don't believe anything drastic is ever going to happen, and I base that on previous presidents and what they've philosophically provided for the United States. So, like, even the founding fathers, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and maybe not so much the Adams father and son, they were big land speculators. And one of the big reasons for the revolution was the wealthy people, the gentry, wanted to make a ton of money speculating on Indian land, and the crown wouldn't allow that. And like George Washington, for instance, he, after the Revolutionary War, he got himself 63,000 acres and kicked a whole bunch of people off the land and sold it all, subdivided and sold it all. Well, Donald Trump is a picture of that, of George Washington being a speculator. And so it's really about the money. So the system's not going to come down because the money's too important. So the
David, where did you read that about George Washington? Just curious.
Well, it's in quite a few different books, that research books.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll give you my personal view of history. I don't believe anything written after 1920. I think the books that are written closer to the time of the life of the founding fathers are more trustworthy. I've never heard that. I don't think,
The 1920s was the progressive era, where the communist era was coming. So so books actually from 1910 to 1940, history books, have definitely a progressive bent to them. One book you can look into called The Cousins War, very, very well researched. That's one. Mm-hmm. And basically, when money trumps everything in America. So,
well, everywhere in the world. Everywhere in the world, money trumps everything. I agree with you. I think money does drive, for the most part, it's certainly the power structures. It drives the power structures. But David, make your point, and then I got to move on.
Well, I just don't think anything is really big is going to happen because the money is more important. The sides are they want the sides polarized. The left gets their crony capitalism; they get their money through crooked welfare schemes, and then the right is the more purist capital, where the big corporations or whatever. And I know there's a mix in between there.
Listen, I'm going to have to cut you short just because of the time here, but. That's an interesting theory, but you know what? If that were the case, we wouldn't have had all these horrible wars. There are people, there are things you can't control. Even the wealthy left and right cannot control the anarchy and disruption and hatred of others. And I think war does finally kind of come. And I think we're really kind of in a precarious place. I hope you're right. I want nothing to happen, but I don't think that money interests are going to stop it. To be honest with you, they certainly didn't stop Trump from winning. So, we'll see. David, thanks. Interesting. Very interesting. All right, let's go to Michigan and talk to Ken. Good morning, Ken. The server is down. Adam, I need your help. Okay, good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Sandy. Good to talk to you.
And thank you.
Just let you know, I saw you a few months ago at Calvin with Tim Johnson. And wanted to talk about the story that... Are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Oh, okay. Sorry. And then, only you have the, out of all the radio, out of all what we think of as conservative radio, only Fox News and all the phonies, only you had the guts to come out. Talk about the story, the biggest story of our time, the fake forged birth certificate of a sitting president for 8 years, his birth certificate of forgery, the good work of Sheriff Arpaio. So who is this guy? I mean, I've read he's got at least 6 Social Security numbers. I mean, but this only you, like you said, it's icky, and only you are willing to get your hands dirty. And can you believe that no one else is, even on Fox News and Hannity and all the other phonies that never even bothered to touch the story? I can't believe it.
Well, the interesting diversion for this morning, but... Look, I think we're going to learn a lot about Barack Obama after he leaves office, and in time we'll know more about him. Whether that includes the birth certificate, I don't know. I do love Sheriff Joe. I love him, and he has really paid a huge price. Another guy who's paid a huge price, not for that. I mean, he is a smart, smart guy. They make him a caricature, but he has a very well educated, very well spoken, and a guy who loves this country and loves the law. And he was the one who led the charge on the birth certificate. That's kind of an aside. And I think that's the reason they went after him with such a vengeance. So interesting that you should mention that this morning. Well, I'm out of time for conversation. I'm sorry I couldn't get to everybody. But when we come back, Congressman Dave Brat will join us. We're going to talk about Obamacare, the repeal and replace. Barack Obama says that President Trump says he wants insurance for everybody. Really? I'm a little concerned about that. We'll talk with Congressman Brett when we return. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Isn't it refreshing to have a president that isn't hostile to Christianity? Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman with the American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, our country was founded on the Judeo-Christian worldview. There's no question about it. The Christian religion was dominant in early America, and there's a reason our country was called a Christian nation. We're going to see this rich history when we go to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon on our Spiritual Heritage Tour in June, and then the other one in September. In addition, we're going to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown on a separate tour, but you can do both of those tours with us if you would like to. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will be our historian as he tells us about our great Christian heritage and history. For more information on either of these tours, go to spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com.
Who could have foreseen that public bathrooms would become a forum for public discourse? Target stores have opened their bathrooms and fitting rooms to men, women, men who feel like women, and even men who say they feel like women. But lost in the discussion has been the safety of women and children.
Excuse me.
Please pledge to boycott Target until they change their dangerous bathroom policy. Let's let bathrooms be bathrooms, and let's take the gender discussion elsewhere. Learn more at afa.net.
The political and cultural landscape of our nation will continue to undergo major changes with the shift in power in our nation's capital. All the issues we care about, religious liberty, the sanctity of life and marriage, national security, immigration, and the economy will be up for debate. Focal Point will help you process it all from a biblical perspective live every weekday afternoon from 1 to 3 Central on American Family Radio. I'm your congenial, convivial, and amiable host, Brian Fisher, and I approve this message.
Dan Celia of Financial Issues.
Would you make one of the most important phone calls that you can make as far as your economic, your financial stewardship? I believe that permanent income is incredibly important to us, especially when you're retired. Listen, one thing we know for certain, the consumption of goods and your cost are never going to change. Make sure that you protect your income. Social Security, you will likely have maybe a pension. Add to permanent income with a charitable gift annuity and do the Lord's work. There's no better organization to do it with than the AFA Foundation, and no better time in our economy than right now.
Call and speak with a representative of the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Last year, Congress charged the Department of Homeland Security with developing a strategy for securing our vulnerable electric grid against all hazards, including sabotage, cyber warfare, and electromagnetic pulses. The necessity for such a plan was underscored when the Russians hacked into and temporarily took down parts of Ukraine's grid for the second time in recent years. The particular vulnerabilities Russia exploited could be a dress rehearsal for what it or others might do to us in the future. The man tasked with protecting against such a potentially catastrophic assault here is Homeland Security Secretary-designate John Kelly. Thankfully, General Kelly testified during his confirmation hearing this week that he takes this responsibility seriously, a most refreshing change from his predecessor, Jay Johnson, and the rest of the Obama administration leadership. The question now is, will such corrective action materialize in time? This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
President-elect Trump told the Washington Post his team is finishing up a plan that would include, quote, insurance for everybody. Mr. Trump is also targeting the pharmaceutical industry on drug prices, quote, they're politically protected, but not anymore. The next White House press secretary explained on Fox and Friends today.
His goal is to get health care for everyone. That is his goal. And he's going to fight tooth and nail to make sure he gets it and uses his skill set as a successful negotiator, businessman, to drive costs down, to create more plan options and doctor options.
The House and Senate took a procedural step at the end of last week to repeal Obamacare and block Senate Democrats from being able to filibuster. Yeah. Republican leaders are facing questions about the replacement plan, and so far, Speaker Paul Ryan has called for achieving the, quote, noble goal here.
Everyone in America should have access to affordable health care, including people with pre-existing conditions. This is what we want to achieve, but that's not what's happening under Obamacare.
And the House Democratic leader has suggested what the GOP is doing will be doomsday.
What are they doing in this bill? Overturning the Affordable Care Act, undermining the health security and financial stability of America's working families, and defunding Planned Parenthood.
Senator Rand Paul, a medical doctor, is selling his own ideas and says one of the key reforms is legalizing the sale of inexpensive insurance.
That means getting rid of the Obamacare mandates on what you can buy. We're going to help people save through health savings accounts as well as a tax credit. And then one of the things that we need to talk more about, and this is the third part of the replacement bill, is we're going to allow individuals to come together in associations to buy insurance.
The president-elect also issued this warning to his fellow Republicans, quote, the Congress can't get cold feet because the people will not let that happen.
All right, so that's Mike Emanuel of Fox News. This is interesting to me because Donald Trump now is saying insurance for everybody in the Obamacare replacement plan. I'm not exactly sure what that means. You know, does that mean that the federal government is going to insure everyone? Maybe that's a good thing. That doesn't mean, according to the verbiage there, that the federal government is going to pay for every single procedure and all of our health care. But that there might be a middle ground where everyone will have insurance. Are they still going to be made to buy insurance? You know, I don't know. These are the kinds of things that we're going to talk to about Congressman Brat, as soon as he calls us in just a second. Here's an article that Genevieve Wood from Heritage just wrote that's real interesting. You know, as most of the Obama numbers are not real. Neither is the 20 million that you keep hearing them talk about. That Republicans want to destroy American health care, and those poor 20 million are going to be uninsured. This is what this is what they say. This will be catastrophic for the 20 million people who were previously uninsured but now have coverage. You can't take away their health care. And so Genevieve writes that the claim of 20 million. The reality is that when you look at the actual net gains over the past 2 years since the program was fully implemented, the number is actually 14 million. And of that, 11.8 million, or 84%, were given the gift of Medicaid. Of course, that's no gift. And if you've ever been on Medicaid, you know that that's really that's the bottom rung of health care. Medicaid roles are overrun. The care is not as good. Not all doctors will take it. But that's why Genevieve put in quotes the gift of Medicaid. So 11.8 or 84% of those that signed up of the 14 million were rolled over into Medicaid. And then she says a new research shows that even fewer people will be left without insurance after the repeal of Obamacare. Numbers are still being crunched, but between statistics released by the Congressional Budget Office and one of the infamous architects of Obamacare, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology's Jonathan Gruber, he's the guy who said that the only way we could pass it was to lie to the American people. It's estimated that anywhere from 2 to 7 million people now on Medicaid would have qualified for the program even without Obamacare. So do you understand that? So Obamacare is given credit for putting people on Medicaid when they could have gone on Medicaid anyway. And so multiple studies, she says, have also shown that even those who are uninsured often have better outcomes than those with Medicaid. A University of Virginia study found that for 8 different surgical procedures, Medicaid patients were more likely to die than privately insured or uninsured patients. They were also more likely to suffer complications. You all know, I know that you know this, Just because you have health insurance doesn't mean you have coverage. I have a friend who just had quadruple bypass surgery, and he is on Obamacare, and he had a terrible time finding a hospital that would take his insurance, finding a doctor that would perform the surgery, having to leave his longtime heart doctor. It was just a nightmare. And I'm sure many of you listening to me would have your own nightmare stories to tell. Just because you have a piece of paper that says that you technically have insurance doesn't mean anything. And then, of course, there's the whole issue of you go to the doctor and you say, well, I have this insurance. And then they say back to you, yes, but your deductible is, you know, $3,500 a year. So everything that happens in the office every time you go or your children get sick until you have spent, you know, whatever your deductible is, $3,000, $4,000 a year, that's out-of-pocket expenses. It does not help you to have insurance if you have to pay every time you go to the doctor or every medicine that you have to get if you have to do out-of-the-pocket for $4,000. That's why many people opt not to have insurance because they might as well just pay. What's the difference? And so the only time, you know, insurance is certainly desirable is in cases of major surgeries and major procedures, cancer and all those kinds of things. But even then, under the current, the way that things are laid out right now, there's such uncertainty. And you can't go to just any place you want. And certainly these really fine treatment places don't take lower-end insurance. So just having insurance does not mean you get good coverage. And that's why, you know, there are, I think they're moving toward a system, as I understand it, where even, you know, there are healthcare options now, co-ops, where people join together, this one that advertises all the time, where they go together, pool their resources, and then cover each other, you know, kind of have each other's back. I think they may be moving more to that, but I don't know. Congressman Brett hasn't called us yet. He is the expert, and I hope that he will. Okay, well, the phone is ringing, and that is a good sign. Genevieve also went on to say, as a Louisiana woman told the New York Times, my Medicaid card is useless for me right now. It's a useless piece of plastic. I can't find an orthopedic surgeon or a pain management doctor who will accept Medicaid. All right, well, one of our favorite congresspersons, Dave Brat, is from the 7th District in Virginia. He's been serving since 2014. He came in with a splash when he defeated Eric Cantor in a surprise victory. And it's good to talk to him. Congressman Brad, I haven't talked to you in a long time. Welcome.
Hey, Sam, great to be on with you. You're always a positive part of my life, and your show is awesome.
Thank you, David. All right. Oh, Congressman Brad, sorry. Let me just ask you, you know, the Senate just did their Votorama last week, and, of course, 7 years of voting to repeal Obamacare gave them some, you know, creds. And now, though, after Trump has been elected, they have to put their money where their mouth is. Repeal and get rid of Obamacare is what they've been saying. I'd love to know what you think they actually accomplished last week just to make it easy to lay people. They used a budget method called reconciliation where they were able to avoid the 60-vote threshold to pass anything, and they were able to shut out the Democrats who wanted to stop this, and they voted to repeal Obamacare, but did they vote to repeal it fully, Dave, or did they keep the taxes as they talked about? What was the final outcome on that?
No, and if folks want to know more detail, just have them go to DaveBrat.com. I've messaged on this somewhat, but it is very complex. And I was close to a no vote last time, and so all we voted on, and the Senate and the House voted on last week, was a budget resolution. And that people should not get it. It wasn't a budget, and the numbers are horrific, right? We provided a wide open option so the Senate would vote for this budget resolution. And so the budget resolution, you have to first have a budget in order to do reconciliation. So we haven't even done reconciliation, and no one knows what's going to be in it. We don't know if it's going to be implemented in 2 or 3 years. We do know that we're not going to get rid of the insurance regulations for sure. The taxes are being debated. We do not know how much of a free market health system we're going to get. And so, and part of that can be explained by we first have to get Tom Price through the Senate as head of health at the federal level, right? He was our budget chairman. Now he's going to run health under Trump. And he hasn't been confirmed yet. So we're waiting to see the Trump executive plan. But, the most important thing is to keep the pressure on all of us so we don't delay this. The outside window should be 2 years. We should have it done in 2 years. And then make sure you get a free market. It's not for us to say, yeah, you can trade across state lines, right? If you've got a top-down federal product and you can shop across state lines to get a terrible product, that doesn't do you any good. So we got to make sure the whole thing from head to toe is free market driven, and we will not be able to get rid of those insurance regs, so we're going to have smart people, and maybe Tom Price to do some of that as secretary.
Yeah, you know, I have to say, before you join me, I expressed this yesterday, I am a little nervous, this talk about insuring everyone, and because you and I both know, Mitt Romney, you know, really stepped into it when he implemented Romney Care in Massachusetts. And it was going to be, you know, like federal health care for a state. And what happened was, of course, It didn't work because they couldn't cover everyone. And the federal government then, I don't know if they're still doing it, they probably are, has to bail Massachusetts out. Because with our tax dollars, we have to pay for their health care. Because it's unwieldy for a government to try to pay for everything for people. So is there any way to know what it is that Mr. Trump is talking about? Is there any inside information on what it is he has in mind?
We got a little bit of a window. We know we're going to get HSAs in there to some extent. We know we're going to block grant Medicaid to the state. And that, Kellyanne said that last night. And so that's some good news. And then the rest of the good news has to be the one thing you have to do is return everything you can to the states because they don't have a printing press, right? At the federal government level, we can go into debt. And so what people are not mentioning is the current health insurance premiums for a family of four, according to Kaiser, are up to $17,000 per family right now.
Wow.
And the premiums are going up by 20% in Virginia, 100% in other states. And so the health care piece is a big enough crisis. But the healthcare costs are also the leading driver of costs in Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security and the entitlement program. And so if we don't really bend that cost curve down, it cannot be talking points that Medicare and Social Security will be insolvent in 15 years. And our kids will have none of those programs in 50 years. And that's in law. And so that's what is at stake here. And so that's why this is a once-in-a-century opportunity, and I'm not exaggerating, right? We have the House and the Senate and the presidency, and so it's just absolutely crucial that whatever we pick, it's got to work together as a whole, and you cannot have it at the federal level because us U.S. congressional politicians are not capable of saying no to anything.
Yeah.
We put everything on the credit card, and so if you return it to the states where they have balanced budget amendments, there's way more discipline. And they'll have to choose something that's at least somewhat realistic.
Oh, man. You and I need a lot more time to talk. Okay, we only have a minute. Congressman Price's, Tom Price's, former Dr. Price, current Dr. Price, has
right,
a plan.
Yep.
It's a free market plan, isn't it? I can't imagine him coming up with anything different.
Yeah, no, we're going to use a lot of free market mechanisms. There's in some of the plans, however, though, there are, you know, federal tax credits. Which can be good, but they're refundable tax credits, which means that you don't even have to make any income to receive the tax credit. And then you run into the same basic problem I was just talking about. Who says no, right? So then there'll be a debate, and you'll have an election. Do you want more tax credits or less? Well, guess what everybody wants? I want more. Well, do you want more if I tell you that your kids aren't going to get any programs at all?
Well,
and that's the nature of the debate we have to have.
All right. Well, you know, here we are out of time, and that's why we're glad you are there, Congressman Brett.
Country off 20, 30 years.
Yeah. DaveBrett.com, DaveBrett.com. We have to talk again soon. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.